Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for another daily editorial today, chatting with Jose Nino. Jose is a very, very prolific writer, writes for an awful lot of what I call very, I don't want to use the word lucrative, I want to use the word serious sites. One of them certainly being Mises, the Mises Institute. I want to talk about how democracy is really going down in our country, Jose. You mentioned that in the latest missive that I got from you a couple of days ago. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yes, I sure can. Thank you for having me on again.
It's a pleasure, Jose.
Yeah, democracy has become a buzzword that corporate, the media, and the political class throw around. It's become largely meaningless these days. In their view, democracy is whenever their approved candidates win, but right. Whenever an anti-establishment candidate like Marjorie Taylor Greene wins, they start pulling all stops, whether it's big tech censorship or the use of the administrative bureaucracy and other means to try to undermine these type of political figures that are effectively dissidents.
Yeah.
So in the case of Marjorie Taylor Greene, I noted in this article that she's facing a lawsuit right now from a group of really like angry leftist voters that want to make sure that she's not able to qualify for running for re-election. She's incredibly popular in her district and is one of the more effective voices, if you will, of the populist right. And that's one reason I believe they want to do everything possible to keep her from running for re-election.
Well, she is basically accused of inciting the so-called January 6th insurrection. Tell us about that a little bit, would you?
Yes, that's where this whole case, the principal argument that this whole case is centered on with regards to the alleged incitement of insurrection that Greene participated in the lead up to January 6th. The January 6th of the storming of the Capitol was not an insurrection or any type of like rebellion or coup like the way the media made it out to be. I'm not the biggest fan of those types of protests, but we need to call a spade. It's not like a subversive movement that was trying to overthrow the government whatsoever. Yes, some people probably did like trespass and engage in acts of vandalism, and they should be punished accordingly and proportionately. But the way the media has blown this up as like a Pearl Harbor or 9/11 style event is the height of hyperbole. And it's part of their broader plan, in my opinion, to wage a de facto war on the right and to try to trample on their basic freedoms, whether it's free speech or rights to privacy, and this is just the pretext for it.
Well, what I think is really interesting is this is truly a battle, in my opinion, between nationalists and globalists. What do you suggest we do other than continue to talk in our conversations almost every single day about the fallacy of what the Democrats, the progressives, are saying?
My opinion is that this proves how we have to stick together. More importantly, people should start learning how to politically organize at the local level and get more active in their community, because we're going up against an enemy that is very vicious, and they will pull all stops to try to disenfranchise and subjugate us. So it stands to reason that we need to learn how to become politically prepared, and people should get involved as much as possible. And not everybody can become a 100% politico, but everyone has a role to play in this type of movement. And I think it's important that we fight back, because we're at a point in our history where there's one side of the political aisle, the left, that is playing for keeps, and they will do whatever it takes to win. And that has to be countered, lest we want to be fully subjugated.
Well, how do you propose we deal with when a very powerful politician like Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, if the conservatives basically come out on top in the next, what I call pre-election, it's not really a pre-election, but the big election certainly is in 2024, when you have somebody like Nancy Pelosi coming out and making it what I consider to be an absolutely false statement in that effect, I'd like to know what you would suggest we do to combat powerful politicians like that who do that. I know it's just politics, Jose, and I know it's just, you know, the statement is just made in hopes of winning perhaps a greater position in the next election. But geez, man, Nancy Pelosi is a pretty powerful politician.
Yeah, I do think that we have to really start building up a very strong ground base so that we can take over legislatures, county commissions, and all that, so that we can then begin to nullify unconstitutional acts from the federal government. There has to be resistance from below. And with that type of local and state-level base, from there, we can build up the necessary political machine where we can get a lot of populist, right-wing populist, liberty, conservative types elected in Congress so that we can ultimately stop the likes of Nancy Pelosi trying to pull off all manner of despotic schemes.
Yeah.
These people, ultimately, they speak the language of power, and it's the only thing they understand. So they have to be, you have to respond in kind with strong acts of political power, whether it's nullifying these laws, unconstitutional federal laws, or unseating bad incumbents in Congress. It's obviously going to be pretty difficult, but you have to start somewhere. And I tell people the easiest place to start is at the local level.
Well, that's what I'm certainly trying to do. But you have to really go much bigger than the local level, in my opinion. I've become very active in the Republican Party up here in my county in Washington State. The chairman of the Reelect Trump Committee, as a matter of fact, he and I do daily editorials constantly on attempting to strengthen the position of the conservatives. I personally don't understand. I really believe that this whole thing boils down to globalism versus nationalism. But my God, when you've got the richest people in our country in the globalist sector, I simply don't understand specific actions that we can take other than do what you and I are doing right now.
It is the battle of our times, globalism versus nationalism, and it's going to take a while for some people to get it, but we have to continue the fight and convince especially a lot of Republicans that have not really been clued into these types of new dynamics taking place, because there are a lot of people in the Republican Party that are still stuck on very outdated premises and are using outdated tactics and strategies, but those are the primary people we need to focus on, which is why I tell a lot of people getting into politics that they need to be involved with their like local and state level Republican Party and make sure to advance there so that they can reorient the GOP's agenda in a more nationalist election. You have to be able to really affect national change. You have to be able to assert power in your backyard and keep it in order before bigger adventures.
Yeah, the backyard is clearly the place to start. There's no question about that. But I'm concerned, really, very concerned about the national election coming up in 24. One of the reasons I'm very concerned, and this was not a part of your article, Jose, but I'm not really sure, given what the Democrats are doing today, given the absolute, I guess I would have to say, failure of the current executive office, who in God's name can the Democrats run for the holder of the executive office in the next election? Do you have any ideas on that?
That's actually a good question because of the fact that Biden is in really deep trouble right now, and there is heightened speculation that he, especially after the midterms, when Democrats are expected to get thumped, that he may resign. And I'm not sure, because Kamala Harris is also incredibly unpopular if you look at a lot of polling, and they're in a pretty rough spot, because I think if the economy continues to be in horrific shape in 2024, it is the Republican Party's election to lose in many respects, in my view.
I agree 100%. We'll
see what happens there.
Well, I don't know what's going on down in Austin where you are, but I know up where I am right now, there is still an awful lot of strength in spite of the fact that Biden is doing nothing whatsoever, not even almost taking a position. I mean, he claims he is, but you know, the situation du jour right now happens to be obviously what's going on between the Ukraine and Russia. Biden hasn't even gone over there. How can a politician like that get reelected? I don't get it.
That's also a good point, because really when you look at the U.S. now, a lot of like the presidents are effectively figureheads in the sense that the deep state, the unelected bureaucracy,
right,
and this overall blob of bureaucratic agencies are what run public policy. And these presidents are figureheads and puppets, these actors. And as time goes on, I expect the American presidency to further degrade into like a figurehead role, unless there is a firm nationalist turn that reasserts a lot of this power back to Congress and the executive branch as opposed to the administrative state.
Right, right. I personally don't see how when a major politician, for example, like Boris Johnson, makes it a point to go over to the Ukraine, and we have no representatives whatsoever on the very high level from the United States. It seems to me that the Democrats are just shooting themselves in the foot, Jose. Any comments?
Well, they did send some people like Anthony Blinken and the defense secretary to Ukraine recently, but it's clear that, Biden also has a lot of shady business dealings in Ukraine,
right,
too. So you have a lot of things going on, and that whole situation there has turned into a complete disaster. So I don't think that Biden, Biden is making a political calculation, because he's already down tubes in terms of his approval rating, and Ukraine is not a winning issue whatsoever, so he's likely sitting that out. And let's face it, I tend to believe Biden is probably trying to prep for the reality that he may be compelled to like step down probably in the next year or so.
Well, I think that's a very real possibility right now. I would give it about a 70% chance. Jose, I'd like to wrap this thing up by asking you to tell our listeners how they can get more familiar with what you do.
Sure. Your listeners can follow my Substack, where I post and also have podcast episodes, Jose Nino Unfiltered. That you can find that on Substack.com. And if you want to receive political strategy that's useful for winning local and state level elections, head to my newsletter, The Nino File, which you can find on Patreon.
Hey, do me a favor, will you? I will very definitely put your picture up here, but send me a link actually to your main website, would you?
Sure.
Jose, I appreciate your time. I'd like to get you on a minimum of once a week from now on. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me on again, Al. I really appreciate it.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.